Before we begin with the passage this evening, I just want to remind you of something we've been reading in our Lent book. God loves you just the way you are, but refuses to leave you that way. When my daughter Jenna was a toddler, I used to take her to a park not far from our apartment. One day, as she was playing in a sandbox, an ice cream salesman approached us. I purchased her a treat, and when I turned to give it to her, I saw her mouth was full of sand. Where I intended to put a delicacy, she had put dirt. Did I love her with dirt in her mouth? Absolutely. Was she any less my daughter with dirt in her mouth? Of course not. Was I going to allow her to keep the dirt in her mouth? No way. I loved her right where she was, but I refused to leave her there. I carried her over to the water fountain and washed out her mouth. Why? Because I love her. I love a good miracle. Nothing better is there on a dark day to read about a good miracle. Jesus has done some corkers, and they're always encouraging. They always show his power. They always show his desperate desire to not leave us where we are. And today's passage is about us not being left where we are. Let's pray. Loving Lord Jesus, as we look into your word, help us to remember what we are reading and the power of it. A power not just to know more, but a power to be more. Lord, if we have come here today just to know more, open our eyes to something deeper. Lord, if we have come here today to be changed and to be more, give us our heart's desire. Amen. Good miracles. They're great. They're really great. We get all that confidence about Jesus and who he is and what he's done. And it's fab, isn't it? We see him in all his glory and all his power and all his majesty. Pick a miracle. Any miracle. They're all like that. Jesus does something miraculous. We're astounded and if not a little bit frustrated that we haven't seen one perhaps around and about for a little while. Well, let's look at this passage today, because what I want to focus on more than what Jesus is doing is I want to focus more on what Bartimaeus is doing. We're still in the series, Reaching Up, Reaching Down, and Reaching Out. And we're reaching up today with blind Bartimaeus. And there in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, we meet this man who's been sitting on the road outside of Jericho. For how long, we don't know, but likelihood is a long time. And he's begging because he's blind. Because he's blind and because he's begging, we know he's poor. And therefore, we have to ask the question, where does his faith come from that makes him respond as he does throughout this story? He's not read it in a book, for obvious reasons, never mind the fact that books wouldn't have been around. Probably that he's been to synagogue, but not necessarily to take an interest in the worship. If he's been there, it's been because where there's people, there's cash. And so there's an opportunity for filling his cup with coins or other things at that point. Where has his faith come from? His faith has come through what he's heard. He'd heard about Jesus and his miracles. He'd heard about this Jesus of Nazareth and what he'd been doing. And let's be honest, if you're a blind person and you hear that there's somebody going around healing the blind, you want to meet that person, don't you? You want to cling on to that person. You hope that you will get to encounter them. You've heard about this remedy, this treatment that can cure all ills, and you want it. It's that same desire that causes anybody and everybody to buy the snake oil, to visit the alternative therapies, to buy the crystals, whatever it might be. You clutch to every straw in order to get the healing that you need. Bartimaeus has heard it. He's heard what Jesus can do, and he wants it. His desperation brings him to a point of faith. Why would he not? Why would he not? Why would he not want to meet Jesus? Why would he not believe that Jesus could do these things? He'd heard it was true. Enough people were talking about it. Well, the thing for us today is to know that all the things that we've heard about what Jesus can do are true. And why would we not want them for ourselves? How do we know about them? We know because people are talking about them. Our Sunday conversation, if you've not been, is an absolute moment of talking about what Jesus has done in somebody's life. Something redemptive, something rebuilding, something that is comforting, something that is challenging. We hear about it. And there's not a Sunday conversation gone past where somebody hasn't been moved to their core about what Jesus has done in the life of the person speaking and felt it in their own life or wanted it in their own life. Between the courses at community lunch, where people give their testimonies, there people hear about what Jesus has done in their lives. It's no wonder then that we get so many people from our community lunch crowd who want to know more about Jesus, who've been to our Alpha course, who come to church, who go to our After Alpha, because they want to know more. They've heard the stories of what Jesus has done in their lives. Where else might we hear about those stories? Perhaps over coffee, men behaving badly. Hopefully over coffee when the coffee van takes its pride of place on a Saturday night. Maybe on the bus where we heard Mo Bentley talked to Anita Robinson and she came to faith. We're not talking about doctrine here, though. We're not talking about, let me expound the scriptures so that your knowledge of right and wrong may be better, as worthy as that is. We're talking about Bartimaeus hearing what Jesus did in somebody's life to make a transformation. That's what Bartimaeus has heard. That's where he's got his faith from. Not from studying the scriptures, but from seeing Jesus at work in people's lives. Therefore, we need to talk about how Jesus has been at work in our lives. How has Jesus transformed our lives? When has Jesus done something which has made that great difference? That's what we need to be talking about, so that those Bartimaeuses around us might hear the greatness and the wonder and the magnificence and the tenderness and the intimacy of Jesus in our lives. Now, it may be that you say to yourselves, well, that's all very well, Rob, but actually I can't think of a moment where Jesus has done that. I can't think of a point where Jesus has been that close to me that I can tell you that my life changed, my situation changed, my personality changed. Well, maybe now is the time to ask for that. Maybe that's the thing that this service is calling you to do today, to say, Lord, I want to have that kind of faith. That kind of faith that I've heard about in so many others. I want that story to tell in my life. Maybe it's time to think about how far we are from God, even if we come to church every Sunday. Maybe that transformation hasn't yet begun. Maybe it's time to say, Lord, change me through your Holy Spirit in my life. And it may be that even hearing that, some of you will have said, not me. Not me. Don't want to be changed. Don't tell me I need to change. Don't tell me I need the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me. It's not much of a story to attract other people to Jesus, is it? It's more a story that says, unlike blind Bartimaeus, I haven't really got a lot of confidence that you're going to do anything worthwhile in my life. Five things we're looking at Bartimaeus this morning, and that was the first one. Where does his faith come from? It comes from what he's heard from others. And now that he has that faith, Bartimaeus wants the opportunity to meet Jesus. He wants to seek the opportunity, and he gets that opportunity. He's heard what Jesus is doing. He knows that Jesus is in the city. And he knows that Jesus has already healed a blind man in Jericho at this point. On his way into the city, on the other side at the other gate, Luke 18, 35 to 43, we get Jesus already healing a blind man. Oh, how close for Bartimaeus. Why did Jesus not come through my gate? Why did he not come in to Jericho through the path where I'm sitting? Oh, if I'd only been sitting at the other place. Well, Bartimaeus gets his chance as Jesus walks out with his throng of disciples and all his followers. He walks past Bartimaeus. And now Bartimaeus sees his opportunity as Jesus walks past. And he wants it. So often, you know, we squander the presence of God in our lives, don't we? If we're honest, Jesus walks past and we say, not today, not today. Jesus walks past and we say, actually, come back in 10 minutes because I'm just busy at the moment. Or, I'm not in the mood for you today, Jesus. I'm really sorry. Thanks ever so much. Nice of you to drop by, but I'm just not in the mood to be religious. Not in the mood to be much of a Christian today. Notice how blind Bartimaeus didn't just sit and wait for Jesus to come past and then shout, Jesus, here I am, over here. Over here, come and do your magic on me. He looked for an opportunity. He looked for an opportunity to encounter Jesus in a special way. Bartimaeus didn't want to miss him. For all that he couldn't see him, he was attentive and he was attuned to what was happening around him. His faith recognized the opportunity. His faith was dynamic. His faith was full of yearning and it was full of hunger. His faith was alert to when Jesus came past. He wanted it. How many of us have missed an opportunity to encounter with Jesus today, just recently? An opportunity to be prayed for. I don't do that. An opportunity to love people more and therefore to know God better through our love. An opportunity to grow in faith by taking on a ministry or a service, not necessarily here, but somewhere. To step out in faith with God. An opportunity to know God better by praying more, not being prayed for, but by praying more, either taking up a quiet time or going to prayer breakfast or the alternate Saturday prayer groups that meet here or the new First Wednesday program, which is going to come out, that's being led by Joe and Colin Gale, all about prayer. Already, we'll have our reasons why we don't do any of those things. But it's missed opportunities. As Jesus walks past, it's missed opportunities to love somebody, to forgive somebody, to show your care for somebody. Not today. Jesus walks past, it's a missed opportunity. How many times will we let him walk past? How many times will we fail to recognize the opportunities that are there to meet with Jesus? Not today. Well, maybe today. For Bartimaeus, it definitely was today. Bartimaeus wasn't going to miss the opportunity. He sought it out, he watched for it, he waited for it, he listened for it, and when it came, we get the third thing about Bartimaeus' faith. When it came, his faith cried out. First he believes, then he recognizes the opportunity, and now he calls out, "Over here! Over here!" He is not going to miss the opportunity to be in the presence of someone who can change his life. In Exodus 2, the people cried out and God heard them. Then Moses cried out and God heard them. Samuel cried out. Elijah cried out. David cried out. The shipmates of Jonah cried out. Peter sinking in the gale cried out. And the Lord heard them and changed their situation. I want to say to you today, it's time to cry out. It is time for this church to cry out to the Lord and say, "We're over here. We need your touch. We need your healing. We need to be changed." Notice, though, something really sad happens at this point in the story, because it's the followers of Jesus who try and shut Bartimaeus up. Now just think about that for a moment. It's the followers of Jesus that try and shut him up. You want to kind of ask at that point, have they learned nothing? Have they seen nothing? Who do they think Jesus came for? Who do they think Jesus cared for? Was it just them? Just them? Bartimaeus, we don't want to hear your problems. We don't want to know your needs. Your sins are not anything that we want to have anything to do with. We are the Jesus people. We are the ones who are already walking with the Lord. We don't want to hear if you're poor. We don't want to know if you're oppressed. We don't want to see if you're sick or if you're gay or if you're divorced or if you're cohabiting or if you're disabled. Isn't it really interesting in our church, just as a reflection, how many disabled people there are in our church? Hardly any. Is that because the Lord doesn't love them? Well, we know that's not true. Is that because Christianity isn't for disabled people? Well, that's not true. So why are they not here? You see, there's something about us getting in the way of what the Lord is wanting to say to the world. We put up those barriers and we say to people, "Not here, not you, not like that, not this, not that." When Steve Chalk was opening his first academy, I was a curate in Manchester, and I went to hear him speak about it. Regardless of what he said lately, he is a man of God, and he has done a tremendous piece of work in many areas, and much to be grateful for in his ministry. When he came to talk about opening the academy, he was saying that at one of the public meetings of opening the first academy, somebody said, as he talked about the inclusiveness of Christ and the glorious goodness of Christ and the love of Christ, and somebody said, "What will you do when it comes to expelling kids?" And he said, "I had to think on my feet because we hadn't even thought about that." And he said, "My answer was, we will not exclude any child." And they don't. They work with them, they work hard with them, but they do not exclude them from school. We do. We do. We are the people who say to blind Bartimaeus, "Not you, not you." And that's not right. That's not right. And we should be convicted by that. So to those of you who are seeking Jesus, to those of you who need to know that healing touch of Jesus, to those outside who meet us, who want something new in their lives, I want to say to them, I want to say to you, don't let the church shut you up from saying, "I need Jesus." When you see us behaving badly, don't think that that's a true reflection of Jesus. Look past us to him. Shout over our piety and our pomposity and our selfishness, and let your faith turn up the volume of your prayer and your longing. Because while we in the church don't always want to hear you, Jesus does. Jesus really does. And so Jesus does hear him fantastically. Across all the throng, he hears him and he calls him over. It is quite a comedy moment, I think, if you think about it, that those very people that have said, no, we're not interested, Jesus says, oh, would you like to go and tell him to come? What a climb down. What an education moment. What a bit of teaching. Not you. Oh, would you go and get him? Oh, yeah, okay. Would you like to, just imagine it, can't you? And so the fourth thing that we see about Bartimaeus' faith is that it leaps in joyful obedience to the call of Jesus. It's just what he's been waiting for. It's just what he's been yearning for. Jesus says, come, and he comes there in verse 50. And what an image we've got there. He leaps up into what he doesn't know, ditches his coat to where he doesn't know. Will he ever find it again? Where did my coat go? Leaps into ditches in the middle of the road that he might not know about, bumps through crowds that he cannot see, scrabbles across uneven cobbles that would normally trip him up. Has he got his stick out? Has he got his arms out? He's leaping, mouth wide, with a smile, hope and expectation, going as fast as he can with abandon towards Jesus. Energy and determination send him through a crowd that he would normally be nervous about. He would normally be reticent about setting off into the midst of a crowded throng. Going towards Jesus. He's going towards Jesus disabled. We are disabled. Each and every one of us here in this place. We're disabled by guilt. We're disabled by anger. We're disabled by bitterness and pride. We're disabled by the inability to forgive. We're disabled by hurt, by brokenness, by sinfulness. We're disabled because we're frightened. We're disabled because we're ashamed. Come, is Jesus' call to the disabled man. Come, is Jesus' call to you and to me. And all we have to do, like Bartimaeus, is have the faith to get up at every opportunity where Jesus says, come. No matter what you are, what you are like, what you are feeling, no matter what your need, no matter what your sin, no matter what your shame, no matter what your joy, Jesus says, come. And the rest is up to us. Do we get up? Do we go forward? Or do we stay sitting at the side of the road, a beggar, blind, forever? So finally, the last thing about Bartimaeus' faith that we see in this passage. We see Bartimaeus describing his case, describing his plight. Without hesitation, when Jesus says, what can I do for you? Bartimaeus says, heal my blindness, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Bartimaeus knows what his problem is. Bartimaeus wants it changed. And so in front of Jesus, he just says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Each and every one of us here this morning stands before the Lord. Sits before the Lord, waits before the Lord as the Lord passes. Are we going to be honest about our plight? Are we going to be honest about our disability spiritually, our disability in our lives? Are we going to be honest with him and say, Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be that person anymore. Bartimaeus' faith makes him honest. Bartimaeus' faith makes him believe that Jesus will change him. Bartimaeus' faith, Jesus says, heals him. Not in that old-fashioned way of you haven't prayed enough, therefore you haven't got better, or that kind of thing. It's not the power of Bartimaeus' own faith, but it's the faithful response that he has to Jesus. It's that faithful response that has led him into the presence of Jesus. It's that faithful response that has led him face to face with the living God, led him to ask to be changed, led him to believe that Jesus can and will do something in his life, led him to be grateful for what Jesus has done. And finally, it leads him to live a new life as he becomes a disciple and follows Jesus. We have an opportunity today and tomorrow and the next day to see Jesus as he goes past and to ask him to set us free, to transform us, to change us. You have an opportunity today after the service to be prayed for. Why would you not? Why would you not? Just to receive that closeness of Jesus today. You have an opportunity in your quiet, the quietness of your heart to say, Lord, here I am. This is my plight. Change me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, just like Bartimaeus, we pray that our faith may reach up to you each time you are passing, and that when you do call us each time we reach to you, you would give us the strength to get up and be healed. Amen.